Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heat and Cooling, and Electrical. And of course, as you can every single day, watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for holding down the fort while I was gone last week.
Hey, we did our best.
I appreciate you. I know you do. You always do. Well, we had a great weekend of football. I guess one great game and one total clunker of a game. Eagles beating the 49ers, punching their ticket to the Super Bowl 31-7. A great Kansas City-Cincinnati game, 23-20. And there are so many different storylines that we can get into, so many thoughts that I have. The game specifically, what that means for the league as a whole, what that means for the Tennessee Titans. But I think the biggest, most glaring storyline, and especially looking through Twitter and what people were talking about, all the discussion after the games last night, was just how horrendous the refereeing was, specifically in the Chiefs-Bengals game last night. I don't want to play into the conspiracy theory of the NFL is rigging these games, or the NFL had a predetermined outcome and they were going to do whatever that they could to make sure that that outcome came to fruition. But with the refereeing last night and some of the calls that I saw last night, I can understand where people are coming from with that. Specifically, the extra third down. The Kansas City extra third down. And I know that the pool reporter, Ben Baby, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals for ESPN.com, he talked to the referees and they explained why, what happened, that the play clock stopped, but the game clock kept going. And the protocol is you stop the whatever play is going on. And if you can't stop it before the play occurs, then you go back and replay it. Mm-hmm. I just think that's very strange and not something that I don't think I've ever seen before. And it gave Kansas City such an obvious advantage. And I thought that was fishy. I thought the intentional grounding call was a little weak. Mm-hmm. I thought that Joe Mixon was there. And I thought that that was a fair pass by Joe Burrow. I thought that it should have just been, you know, second down there. So it's some of those calls. I think the NFL has some explaining to do. I do.
Well, I mean, I mean, you need to ask my son how does he feel about referees,
because in general
he's still mad today. He's still upset about the Laker and Boston game, but we're on football right now. Typically that play, they stop it in enough time. The ref come running and he gets in there in enough time where he just stops the whole play, and you know, it's more of a okay, I caught it. There's no, you know, no one's upset. There's no conspiracy or anything else. I was able to catch it. What happened was, I think, you know, when he noticed that the clock wasn't going, he was far behind. The ref was, you know, behind the quarterback or the umpire. And as the play is gone, then he runs up and you don't see him until the play is done. They called the play. I'm pretty sure no one in the stadium heard the whistle.
I saw 22 guys playing.
Yeah, all
that
played.
Was
no
the bummer
one,
about
no
it.
One heard the whistle. Yeah. And that happens sometimes when it's so loud in the building, in the stadium, that the ref will blow the whistle and the guys keep going and they have to rush in there to stop everybody. I've been a part of more than my share of plays like that where all of a sudden the ref comes out of nowhere and everybody's running full tilt. And it's like, okay, slow down. What happened? You know, everybody's thinking what happened. Then, you know, you find out what happened. I'm not going to, you know, go to the conspiracy thing, even though I am. And I love conspiracies. I love them just like the next person. And I'm sure you love them as well, Caroline.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. But on that particular play, it's just like a pass interference. A lot of times they throw the flag late and everybody's screaming like, why didn't you throw it when it happened? And it's almost like a reaction time. The intentional grounding, I thought they were going to call it as soon as he threw it to the ground. As soon as he threw it to the ground, I'm like, oh, that's an intentional grounding. And then I didn't see a flag and I'm thinking like, okay, maybe they didn't catch it. Maybe there was somebody there. And then they went and huddled back up, and they typically, that's what they do. They huddle up and they say, okay, was that an intentional? Did you see anybody? Did you see anybody? No. Okay, well, let's throw it now. So maybe they could have held that one in, but ultimately, I think the play that killed them was that roughing the passer. the quarterback. Yeah, I think that would, and I'm sure he didn't mean to do it. He was hustling and getting over there, and he didn't push him with any malice. It was just, you can't have any contact with the quarterback when he's going out of bounds. So, but it was a hell of a game. It was the game we thought it would be. Both quarterbacks had their moments. Both defenses had their moments. These are two teams that you will, as long as they stay healthy and as long as they make the right moves free agency wise, these are the two teams you're going to see consistently in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, in terms of the refs, I love talking about how hard it is to officiate these games and what do you try to do to be the best you can be. But I would have to think, if I'm a Bengals fan, I feel like, that's two straight weeks where they've had some very tough calls. We talked about how impressive it was last week that they had some swing calls go against them and they still were by far the better team in Buffalo. And these games are so close. I don't think it made the difference in the game, but you could argue that, a couple of those things that were strung together, the play that you guys talked about, the extra third down, there was a sack that got negated by a holding down the field, which you see all the time, but you look at it, and, part of me is saying, look, there's no way he's throwing that ball to that guy. It's got nothing to do with the play. It's just a shame, that didn't affect the play at all. But they get bailed out on a sack that becomes an automatic first down. It was Eli Apple that was called for the holding.
The NFL has made an emphasis toward that like the last three years.
And you look at it, he held him a little bit, but it was, that was right after the third down, right? That happened after the third down. So the Chiefs extended that drive a lot longer than they probably deserved to, all things considered. I think one of the things I was talking about with the people I was watching the game with was, okay, yeah, that might be a hold on Eli Apple, but do they deserve to get the ball? They just got a free third down over again, right, when they probably shouldn't have got it. Everybody knows on that field, everybody was playing that play. They didn't get the first down. They got another chance at it. Then they get another chance because they call a holding that's way away from the play on a sack. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say I like the rule of thumb that officiating is just as much of an art as it is a science.
Yeah.
Right? By science, that's the right call. But In the big scheme of things, like on the playground pickup game, they didn't deserve to keep the ball that long. And they didn't score on the drive. But they chewed up a lot of clock, and the Bengals end up getting the ball way deep in their own territory. So it affected how the game played out. Right, and I'm not saying the Chiefs won because of that, but the Bengals didn't catch much of a break there. I thought that was where it was a little bit. If I'm on the Bengals, that's how I'm coming at it today.
Don't you think Kansas City deserves some sort of football god's luck? What happened to them 3 years ago? They're in a position to go to the AFC Championship meeting, go to the Super Bowl against New England, and they knock it down on fourth down, but it's offsides call.
Right, right.
And it's like, seriously.
Yeah. They've been on the other end.
Exactly.
Of it. Yeah.
They've been on the other end.
If you get
in
enough big games, mm-hmm. they'll go either way. Like the Bengals were fortunate, right? Mm-hmm. Against the Titans, couple of the balls that are batted in the air. They go right to the Bengals. Like mm-hmm. the play last, the first week when they're on the ropes against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. The ball pops up in the air, and the guy gets it and runs 99 yards.
And then they don't call a penalty.
They don't call a penalty. So they've gotten some breaks. There's no question. So that's just how close these games are. So you do sympathize with the refs mm-hmm. that it's not easy to officiate. They're doing the best they can. But when mistakes are made or questionable calls happen in a game that close, that's what everybody ends up talking about.
And I do think, to your point, the Joseph Asai roughing the passer, that absolutely was the right call.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There were so many calls on both sides that I was like, yep, that's right. There were a bunch of missed holding calls here and there, but you're going to get that in every mm-hmm. single game. They're not going to call every hold. But I did think that there were a few roughing the passers on Joe Burrow that were not called. I did think that the extra third down was so obviously twisted.
Cincinnati fans are going to take that to their grave. They're going to
they're going to be talking about this in Cincinnati for years. And Willie, I agree with you. that wasn't the difference in the game. I thought Kansas City was the better team from the very first second of the first quarter. Kansas City looked like the better game. But I think it's less about the individual calls or the individual plays and more so the perception of the integrity of the league.
Mm-hmm.
That some of the calls, because there's always going to be fans that are on the other side of a bad call. 2019 in the NFC Championship, the New Orleans no call, they missed an obvious DPI. The Rams go to the Super Bowl that year when the Saints really should have won that game. Mm-hmm. They talk about New Orleans all the time. They never get over it. There's always going to be fan bases that are angry about some of the calls. But I think overall, whether you're a Chiefs fan, a Bengals fan, or just a football fan in general, football fans and the general football population looks at it like, you know, NFL, like, you got some explaining to do.
Yeah.
We're a little bit confused about this. And, you know, there's no amount of pool reporter questions and answers that I think will appease a lot of people just because of the nature of how egregious some of those calls were or no calls were.
Also, too, you know what's happening is Mike Pereira and Gene Steratore are almost becoming – you might as well just put them in the booth with the other two guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're every fifth play, it seems like they're coming in for their interpretation of a tight call. And I also think that's it's a byproduct of how much the game is scrutinized, the camera angles. Like, for example, the opening drive of the NFC title game, the guy made the catch. Devontae Smith makes an incredible catch, but it wasn't a catch.
Yeah.
You know, and
he knew it too.
I know, but that's what's crazy. The normally, because in a game that magnitude, you're going to see that in the first or second replay, but for whatever reason, we didn't really see it.
Mm-mm.
And they came up, to their credit, they ran the play quick and negated it. That's 7 points right there. Now, we know the bigger story in that game, but it's such a scrutinized game, and officiating has become a big part of it. Replays become a bigger part of it. And the game is so fast, it's never going to get easier. It's only going to get tougher as the players keep getting bigger and stronger and faster.
Well, they should do it like, you know, in situations like that. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, there are probably half of the, you know, football world that says, nah, just if they can't throw a flag, a red, you know, challenge flag right then and there, if they don't get it before the next play start, then so be it. And I'm sure there are fast of football fans that say, you know what, they still should be able to challenge it. I like the way the NBA does it, that if you hit a three and they're not stopping the game, but during a break, they'll go back and look at that three-pointer. And if it's not a three-pointer, it's a two, they take a point off the board, mm-hmm. no matter what. To me, the NFL should have a way of reviewing, even if you do complete the next play, they still have an opportunity to review it and say, okay, we need to go back. That wasn't a catch. No matter what you did the next play, because we were able to review that play on a catch, it was a catch, it wasn't a catch, we got to bring this thing back. I think they should have the ability, because these games are so close now. Mm-hmm. It's like razor's edge. Like, it's truly like the game of inches now. It's truly a game of inches, because these teams, these athletes are so much better and they're so much faster and the game is fast. And if I have the ability to at least go back, even while they are in that next play, I should have that ability as the lead, because this game has changed so much. It's not the game of 1990 anymore. You know, so
especially when you get to this point in the
exactly,
season,
exactly, absolutely,
when it's one of the best teams in the league against one of the best teams in the league, and you're competing for a spot mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, it is going to be so razor thin that I think the game outcome that's the vision. The game outcome should be what happens on the field, and not because of calls and not because of refs, and mm-hmm. it's just you play by the book. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your calls, your texts on that, your thoughts on the games yesterday. Do we think the NFL has some explaining to do? We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. It was a fun day of football yesterday, and it's always unfortunate whenever the conversation at the end of the day, whatever sport it is, whatever Sunday it is, whether it's Championship Sunday, whether it's Week 1, when I'm looking through Twitter, when I'm reading articles, and the biggest conversation that I see is all about the referees. and how there are so many people who are watching those games thinking, what in the world are they thinking? And it's not just a single play. It's not just one single call. At least it wasn't yesterday. The Chiefs' extra third down, intentional grounding on Cincinnati. And we can talk all day long about whether it was intentional grounding or not. I didn't think it was. I can see why you think it was. And then there's the Devontae Smith catch that we were talking about at the break. That Devontae Smith didn't catch the ball, and I think he knew that it wasn't a catch. It was called a catch. Kyle Shanahan doesn't throw the challenge flag, which I was floored and shocked by. But I think looking at all of the calls yesterday, and it's not just about the call, it's not just about the outcome. I don't think that the referees were the difference in these games. Eagles, obviously, it was a beat down of epic proportions. I thought the Chiefs were the better team on the field, but it's the integrity of the NFL. And this was the kind of day, and those were some of the calls that I felt like the NFL needed to step back and really take a look and evaluate the officiating process, because it's not unique to yesterday. This is a thing like every single week. I feel like we're talking about just how some games are completely blown, and I don't want to sound like a total loser and say, oh, the refs did it, it's the refs' fault. But I do think that this is... those are the calls, and these are the days, and those are the games that warrant some sort of explanation from the NFL. Because I think we're all looking at it like, oh, the NFL's rigged. And I don't want to live in a world where the NFL is rigged.
I don't look at it like that. I've never thought the NFL's rigged. I know a lot of people do. I don't question the integrity. I just think it's really difficult to call to officiate in the NFL. I just think it's a very tough job. I watch the NHL on a nightly basis. I feel the same way, the speed of that game. Mm-hmm. It's really, really tough, and it's not going to get it easier. The players will keep getting faster. They'll keep getting stronger, bigger. And the only thing that I think that could really maybe make a difference is if more former players became officials. And we talked about this before with a former teammate of yours, Terry Killens.
Yes. Now,
there's just not that many Terry Killens out there. There's not a lot of former players that choose to become officials. I do think when you have played at a high level, you probably have a better chance of feeling the game, sensing the game, and therefore officiating the game. To me, other than that, I just don't know what you can do. I think no matter what you do, there's still going to be calls like this, and there's no real solution. We've talked about the good and the bad of replay, how replay is a very good thing to fix mistakes a lot of times, but also creates other issues that we're sitting there going, man, this is messed up. Replay has ruined this type of play. So I would say, for anybody that thinks it's not as good as it used to be or not as good as it should be, watch a game from the pre-replay days. I think you'll find yourself saying there was a lot of messed up calls back then, too. Like, I do think it's about as good as you can hope for, and it's never going to be perfect. That's just the way I look at it. Sometimes you're going to get the short end of it.
It's never going to be perfect, ever. There's always going to be certain calls that you look at that are so 50-50, and sometimes fans will look at it and they want it to go their team's way. But I do think all things considered with replay and the fact that we can go down to the single ittiest, bittiest little millisecond, and there are still some calls, like the third down call, that we're all looking at what's going on there, where we should have every single piece of information as to why a certain thing was called.
Right. But when that happens, right, who's really, other than the wackos, okay, who really thinks the game is rigged when they see it? And there may be some crazy Bengals fans, all right? Because you get emotional when you're
they are
when
going
your team.
Crazy right
your first
now.
Instinct as a fan for your team is, wait a minute, that you're screwing our team. But in the real world, that's not a conspiracy, right? When a guy comes in, it's just an honest mistake. They messed up.
I think it
shouldn't have happened. But the game is not rigged based on what happened there.
I do think a lot of people believe it, beyond wackos. And I do think that
Who?
I'm just looking at Twitter.
I'm sorry, okay.
There's
Twitter,
a lot of,
and we have real rational people on Twitter?
Well, I'm looking at, like legitimate people on Twitter who
they
are talking
about... They think the game
about,
is rigged.
Yes.
Who? Give me an example of a legitimate person on Twitter that thinks the game is rigged.
I can look it up on Twitter and find it. Honestly,
I would like to know. Okay. Show me a true journalist, somebody who has credibility.
And I think that it is something beyond, maybe people don't actually think that. Maybe that's not a legitimate conspiracy theory, but there are people, legitimate people, reporters who watch this game and think, I don't think it's rigged.
Okay,
but man,
I would like to hear an example.
This is
of a reporter.
Really good example. I'll look it up.
Okay. Yeah. I would like to know.
Here's the thing. What refs and what people,
Pro Football Talk tweeted rigged.
Somebody specifically?
This is coming from the Pro Football Talk account.
Okay, so that is Mike Florio.
Florio, I'm guessing.
So he thinks the game is rigged.
This is a tweet, 8:26 p.m. last night from Pro Football Talk, all caps, rigged.
They're not going to say the game is rigged. They're just going to put the word rigged.
So it's not a person that's putting it behind. But it's just somebody, Pro Football Talk.
Well, somebody put it.
That's Florio. Yeah.
But here's the thing. When the calls are, when there are calls being made in games that, you know, that are questionable calls, and there are a few questionable calls, like that whole sequence with Cincinnati, you know, the play, them stopping a play, you know, before that, the intentional ground, and then another, you know, it just seemed like everything was going against the Cincinnati Bengals. When people look at that, whether it's Bengal fans, whether it's, you know, diehard Bengal fans, lukewarm Bengal fans, or, you know, fans that just don't want to see Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl again, they're going to look at it and say, man, these calls are a little bit lopsided, you know. And we always hear this, you know, when you're at home, you tend to get the benefit of the doubt. You tend to get those calls that are, you know, maybe I don't make it, maybe I do. I'm going to throw the flag, and everybody's looking at it like, man, you really had to throw a flag on that one? I mean, I saw about five other calls that you could have made that was more egregious than that
but
one.
These are all totally fine to scrutinize calls and think it was a bad call. But when you're trying to truly be rational, to think the game is rigged, I don't count that tweet as it. That's just one word. I don't know if that's being sarcastic.
No. I want to see a report. Rig is not the word. Rig is not the word.
They think the NFL is.
Rig shouldn't be the word.
There are some people ganging up on the Bengals or on a particular team.
Rig shouldn't be the word. The word should be more so, man, it seems a little bit one-sided here, you know, as opposed to rig. Like, man, this game seemed to be a little bit one-sided.
First thing is I think, unfortunately, the Bengals, a lot of the close calls didn't go their way, and that made it tougher on them.
And people
but
think,
that's
well, what if they were in Cincinnati?
It's rigged.
What if they? Well, they're saying it's rigged, but they're saying it's rigged, but they're not saying it's rigged. Again,
I think it's more so they don't actually believe that it's rigged, but some of the calls were so bad that they're thinking that's the only explanation that it can be. That it is so bad, so obscure, so one-sided, so lopsided that
advantage.
There's got to be some sort of ulterior motive here.
That but you've gotten that whether it be 2023 or 2093. It's if you see a game that seemed to be so lopsided or seemed to be calls, you know, geared one way toward one team and not the other, people do look at it, whether it be tweets, whether it be the next day on talk shows, people, man, it sure seemed lopsided. They can't get on television and say it was rigged because
Totally different thing. Rigged is totally different than.
But lopsided to me.
Lopsided is, it seemed like the other team got the benefit of the doubt on some key
calls.
To me,
that's just another. That's a.
But that's different saying it's rigged.
No, to me, that's more so saying. That's more so a nicer way of saying, yeah, this game seemed like, you know, the fix is in. If I say, man, this game sure seemed lopsided here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
I don't want to say
certainly
it's rigged.
The Lakers, like the game you were
exactly.
at Saturday.
That was a
huge story that LeBron was like, I don't understand this. Like, this is.
Well, that was a huge story in sports, game. But we can't say but it sure is lopsided, ain't it? Man.
Sure is lopsided.
It was convenient that they didn't call, they didn't make that call.
I have no problem with saying lopsided.
Well, people on ESPN can't say it.
I have a problem with, because then you're basically saying that somebody's throwing a game. Or the league is going to the officials and saying, you know, we really want the Chiefs in there. We really want the Chiefs in there. I don't think that ever happens.
But they will say, hey, listen, you know, let's put more emphasis on this week or this month or this year.
Well, the holding down the field
yeah.
has been an emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that can be taken too far. Like Mike Vrabel has said this before. Mm-hmm. He goes, I don't understand sometimes the points of emphasis. He goes, you should be emphasizing be a great official on everything, mm-hmm. right? You shouldn't just be, well, we're only emphasizing these plays. But the holding down the field sometimes I think can be a little egregious, had nothing to do with the play. It's way down the field. He's not even looking at that receiver. He's getting sacked. Mm-hmm. But they get a bailout. You know, I just don't think there's common sense. But that's a different thing than I think there can be scrutinizing the officials all day long. But rigged, no.
I see your phones. You're waiting very patiently. Your phones are lining up. We are right to them coming up next. Your thoughts on the games yesterday. 615-737-1025. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063 The Game in the Game Nashville app. Breaking down the officiating from the NFL games yesterday. Some questionable calls. Some calls that went in the Chiefs' favor. And I'm not saying I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I know that there are some people out there who are. So let's get your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. Eric is up next. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, guys. Before I get to both of the games yesterday, one thing I wanted to say, guys, this is me growing up as a Cowboys fan who is pulling for the Philadelphia Eagles because of A.J. Brown and Brett Kern. I would love to see them win a Super Bowl. And I know it's making Jerry Jones sick to his stomach. But the Eagles have a shot to win their second Super Bowl in 5 years.
Totally.
And I know we're on media row, A.J. Brown, definitely. He's going to have some of the local media talk to him. I'm wondering if he's going to be down there trolling tight ends down there. So, but he's got every right to because he looks like he won for sure. But, guys, as far as both games yesterday, first of all, I definitely think on that fourth down play where the Eagles got the first down, you know, I agree that San Francisco should have challenged. Because, you know, they weren't showing that game on the Videotron or whatever, but it's frustrating when that comes out later. But I think that play, to me, changed the whole trajectory of the game. Because, of course, if that doesn't happen, then the Eagles turn the ball over to San Francisco. They get the touchdown a couple plays later, and that just pumps up the crowd. And then you have Brock Purdy then getting hurt, which fires up the defense after that on the fumble. Now, does he still get hurt if that doesn't happen? If they don't get to keep the ball and have to turn it over to San Francisco? We don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I think that one play changed the whole trajectory of the game on that. And as far as the Kansas City game, a lot of the penalties against the Bengals were self-inflicted. But I also want to talk about one penalty that has been talked about a lot that I think that Zach Taylor may have legitimate beef on, the roughing the punter call. What he was complaining about the officials, he was saying that the Kansas City player blocked the guy, pushed him into the kicker to get that roughing the kicker call. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kansas City went down and scored a touchdown. I think that's the one where he might have a legitimate beef on.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call, Eric. All good points. Yeah, all good points. Good call, Eric. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I mean the fourth down call. Mm-hmm. I can't say that would have completely changed the trajectory of the game just because it did end up being so lopsided, meaning San Francisco and in Philadelphia. But it's a fair point. You know, mm-hmm. and you can play that. You know, coulda, woulda, shoulda game all day. If you didn't call this, and this wouldn't have happened, this guy wouldn't have gotten hurt. Yeah, your thoughts.
First of all, a shout out to Eric for calling. I'm glad he's. Yes. I think that's his first call to the Caroline, Willie, and D-May show.
Thanks, Eric.
So, checkbox. The first time I heard Eric call a show was 1993. So, Eric has been calling shows
Thanks,
in this city for a long time. So, that's a feather in our cap, I think.
No, go ahead.
What's up, D-Mays?
No, I mean, you know, the roughing the punter call, I mean. Yes, the guy, they could have called it either way. If it was a no call, I would have understood because mm-hmm. the guy did sort of, you know, he had his hands on the guy as he was going into the punter. You know, they made the call. I don't think, you know, Cincinnati, you know, argued about it much because, I mean, by rule, he did rough the punter. I thought they were just going to call a 5-yard penalty mm-hmm. Because he didn't kick. He didn't hit the landing leg, which they usually, I think is when you hit the landing leg, doesn't give a guy an opportunity to land on the ground. That's when it's roughing the kicker. I thought it was a 5-yard penalty, but they called it a personal foul, roughing mm-hmm. the kicker, and extended the drive for Kansas City. Now, I would have had a legitimate beef if I'm the coach. I would have said that wasn't roughing a punter.
Right.
That was just a 5-yard penalty, which would have still made it 4th and 1.
Right.
So,
Jason is up next. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Just a couple of comments, and I'll let y'all talk about it. why can't there be a official in the replay booth overlooking some of these questionable close calls and immediately radioing down to the head guy on the field saying, hey, y'all need to review that.
They do.
And overturn that.
They do have that.
It doesn't happen in the two-minute warning and all of that, but I don't necessarily know that they do it the whole time.
No, if you hear sometimes Gene Steratore will say that was a correction from New York. Mm-hmm. They do have that now, centralized thing. The NHL was the first to have that. And now all of the leagues do have that.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And I'll go back to that roughing the punter call. I believe that's the turn. Look, here's the statement to make, and y'all can discuss it. The better team, as far as injury-wise, because the Chiefs took a bunch of injuries that entire game, I'm not worried about the San Francisco game. They were down to their fifth quarterback. They shouldn't have won. The better team came out of that, and they're going to represent well on the NFC side. But I'm calling it now with the injuries. Mahomes on one leg. You got a tight end that's hurt. He'll probably play. You got all these other players for the Kansas City Chiefs, 31-17, and I'm being gracious with that 17. It's just not going to be a good Super Bowl because of these outlandish calls that helped the Chiefs overcome the Bengals.
All right, thanks, Jason. So, appreciate your call.
I do think with regards to how it's becoming more centralized, they have the central control in New York. They're using it some, but some people would like to go to the next level. They call it the eye in the sky. Mm-hmm. People talk about that sometimes,
right,
where they could have even more influence from the officials outside of the field of play, right? The eye in the sky could actually be in communication, say, look, I got this over here on this play. You guys didn't see it, but that's a flag on whoever.
But the eye in the sky,
I don't know how that would.
The eye in the sky is tough because it doesn't give you sort of that ground view that you would need on
right.
a lot of them.
Yeah.
I can see just a ordinary penalty, like a holding.
I think those guys would make mistakes,
yeah,
too.
I think holding or something like that, you will see that from the eye in the sky. But when we're talking, you know, was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Mm-hmm. You know, when it's close, contested, the eye in the sky is not going to catch that because it doesn't have sort of that level view that you need to make those hard calls.
And you have pylon cams.
Yeah.
And you have every, you know, angle that you possibly can look at. But sometimes there are still calls that go wrong.
Yeah. How about, by the way, when he's talking about the injuries, I do think we should salute how great Patrick Mahomes was on one leg.
So impressive.
I never thought, and you could tell he was battling it, but he was moving better than I thought he would be able to and still just being resourceful and finding ways to make plays. There were certain throws that didn't look like he could really make. Like when he tried to really step into it, mm-hmm. he couldn't do much, but he figured it out. He's such an amazing competitor, that guy.
It was very impressive. And I feel like that's kind of his signature thing is when he starts on one side and does a little bit of a turn in his torso and he puts a lot of pressure on that foot, on that ankle.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do that. And you could tell he was trying to do that and trying to, you know, continue to go through his progressions. And it hurt him. There was one, first or second quarter, where he pushed off that ankle and you could see him run off a little bit. That did not feel very good. Ed is on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. Hey, Willie, question. And all you guys can chime in on this. I'm going to give you a poll. Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, and professional boxing. Of the four sports, which one, if any of them are rigged, which one would you choose? Which one would you say was rigged?
I
just named.
I would say boxing, yeah.
Boxing,
yeah.
Okay. Well, and you have the judgment element of boxing, right? But, if you don't knock the other guy out,
here's the thing,
it comes
though,
down Willie, to a judgment.
Here's the point I want to make. It's all the NFL's fault. Of those sports, immediately after a boxing match, you can take that microphone and stick it right in the referee's face, and you got to answer your question. You can go to the judges who have called the fight, and you can ask them anything you want. Only in the NFL, you know, you're not allowed to ask the officials anything. You know, they're barred from questioning. And that's the problem I have with the NFL. You can't question them. Ask them. Why can't you ask them, why did you make that call?
Thanks for your call,
Ed. In boxing.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Ed. I think that's for the protection of the referee.
Yeah, I'm thinking you can immediately after the game that you go and run up to a ref that possibly didn't make a call, you know, that you like. So you run up to that ref as he's leaving. You don't do that. Now, the refs, the head ref after the game, I do think they have, like, separate, because they got to come out with their whole, you know, sheet of how the game was ref calls and everything else. Typically, you see that. You know, but it's usually the umpire that does it because he's over all of them. You know, you don't want to be able to, you know, after the game, or you don't want these guys to have to walk into a press conference and be grilled by
some people would like
reporter.
To see that, though.
I know. I mean, it would make for you know, great conversation the next day, but it's not going to do anything for these refs.
Do they do it? Like, I know in some sports, and I think. I'd like to say they do it in football. I don't know this for a fact, but they have what's called the pool reporter.
Yeah.
Like,
it could be somebody like Teresa. Mm-hmm.
I believe David Beauclair might be the Titans pool reporter.
Yeah. So
a designated team reporter.
Who can ask a couple questions to the head official. Say, what did you guys see on this?
It's the head official, not anybody else.
Yeah.
The NBA has it because they came out with their whole thing right after the Lakers and Boston game. They came out with, we missed the call. That was our fault. But it's like, okay. Yeah, you told us, but that's not helping anything. Y'all should have made the call.
And that's what Ben Baby, who covers the Bengals for ESPN.com, he talked with the head official last night. He's the designated pool reporter for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he asked, okay, the third down, the replay on third down, intentional grounding, and I believe there was another call in there that he asked the ref, why was this called? What did you see? What is the league rule? And I think it's less about fans wanting to hear from the individual refs themselves and wanting to hear from the league and having some sort of, you know, discussion about the league. Because, you know, whatever the referee says, it's more so about the NFL and as a whole and the calls that they're making as a whole rather than just that one line judge or that one, you know, ump who had that one spot. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls, your texts on this. But coming up next, talking a lot about the bad stuff, want to address some of the good as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. And hey, I got to let all of you know that it is Love Week on 1025, 1063, The Game, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. All this week, listen to Robbie and Rex Row between 6 and 9 a.m. for details on how you could win a $100 gift card to A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and qualify for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. We've touched a lot on the refereeing yesterday, some of the blown calls, some of the bad calls, but I do have to say, I still step away from this weekend of football thinking that the two best teams in the NFL are going to the Super Bowl. I still step away from the games yesterday saying, okay, the better team on the field won that game. And I credit to Patrick Mahomes for what he did yesterday. That was an MVP-esque performance. You go out there with a high ankle sprain, and he was still able to make some of the throws that he did. And you can tell he wasn't as mobile as probably he would be. He wasn't rolling out maybe as much as we're traditionally used to seeing Patrick Mahomes do that. But he was still doing it, and he was still making gutsy plays. And I mean, I don't even know what his stat line was at the end of the day, but he did what he needed to do to help his team win. And considering the injuries, considering the lack of the receivers that he's working with, I thought that was very impressive.
Incredible. He had over 300 yards. Mm-hmm. Mahomes did.
And close to 350, didn't
he? Yeah. And on the other side, and it wasn't perfect, but he got it done. He got it done. And like you were saying, he had some injuries to some of the weapons that compromised their offense on top of what he was dealing with physically. And then the other side, we talked about it. Here are the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. Now, they've won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Now you have a totally different coaching staff, different quarterback, but it's testing the theory is, can you win a Super Bowl without the marquee franchise quarterback, even though Hurts has really moved up? I would like to see now, though, in the Super Bowl, does he have to be great? They've won these two playoff games. He hasn't had to be great. Because of the circumstances, right? They've just run the other team right out. They had a great fortune of Purdy getting hurt. That really made it tough for the 49ers. That's a whole other thing. That just turned into a mockery, right? Like, they might as well pull somebody out of the stands. They could not physically throw a pass. That made it pretty easy on Jalen Hurts and those guys. He only threw for 120 yards, right? And the week before, they just ran it. They were way ahead early.
it was a knockout in the first round, first half. So I don't think it's going to be like this in the Super Bowl. So I'm curious to see how Hurts does when he's got to be great.
I think what he was facing the defense that's the best defense in the National Football League on all fronts. He was, you know, they didn't have any injuries on defense, so it made it very difficult for the Philadelphia Eagles. What they did was they took away Philly's ability to pass the ball consistently. Philly rely on big chunks. Mm-hmm. San Fran took that away. And then for a bit there early on, they took away the run. But then as the game started going on, you know, it was sort of a war of attrition. And that offensive line, which is the best offensive line in the National Football League, they started to wear on San Francisco's defensive line. He didn't have to pass the ball. What I think he did was, which is, this is why I believe that Jalen Hurts is, you know, if he continues to get better, he's ascending to that elite status. And the only reason he hasn't gotten there now, and I truly believe this, is because he wasn't a first rounder. Had he been a first rounder, they would have put him in elite status already, considering what he's done. But he wasn't a first rounder. So it's almost like you got to work your way up the ladder, work your way up the ladder to get there. Because what he's doing is what great quarterbacks do, is don't force anything. All right, you want to take away the pass, you know, all right, that, let's do that. But we have the ability to run the football. I have the ability to run the football as a quarterback. He's doing exactly what great quarterbacks do. They take what you give them. They don't press it, but they make plays when they need to. That pass to Devontae Smith, that was an excellent pass. And he got it in there. San Francisco, you got to take your hats off. DeNico Ryan, he did his defense, basically shut down Philly's passing game. But Philly, they're good enough to, okay, you want to take away the pass? We can run. That's why it's so hard to beat Philadelphia, because you can't take away everything. What did I say last week? With Philly, you got to cover 52 yards wide and 120 yards long. Every inch of the field you got to cover with Philadelphia, because they can beat you running, they can beat you passing, they can beat you running with the quarterback, and a quarterback can throw the ball just as good as any other quarterback out there. So it's going to be very difficult, but I think Jalen Hurts did exactly what elite quarterbacks do. He went out there, he didn't force anything. He said, you know what, if y'all want to take away the pass, fine. I just hand it off to my running back, so I run it myself.
But they had the luxury of doing that.
Exactly.
Because San Francisco's offense just had nothing to bring to the table after a certain point. You just knew they had to scratch and claw just to get a couple first downs. They couldn't throw it, especially after Josh Johnson was struggling.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when he went out, then it was, the game was over. Mm-hmm. So I'm just simply, I'm not saying Hurts can't do it, mm-hmm, but he hasn't really had to really take any chances. They had the luxury of just saying, let's just not take any chances here. Let's run it, and eventually we'll get the ball back where we need to, because they can't score.
Yeah.
The 49ers can't score.
And I think that's what you're going to see in the Super Bowl. And we have so long to talk about the Super Bowl, but looking at the Eagles versus the Chiefs' path to this point, mm-hmm, you're going to see on paper the battle-tested team and the advantage of, you know, having calluses over blisters versus the Eagles, who have really had an easy ride, honestly. And they made it easy for themselves. They had a first round bye. They blow New York out. They're able to put the backups in. And then the same thing against San Francisco. We've seen so much of Gardner Minshew in the playoffs, and it's because the Eagles have put themselves in positions to put their backups in, to be able to rest. So you're going to see this battered, battle-tested Chiefs team that have had to play in really tough environments against really good teams versus this Eagles team that's really kind of skated, and they're healthy. And
that's
they
a great
can
point.
Be.
I'm not buying into that. I'm not buying
no,
into
because
that.
No, because I will say this.
Because the NFL is rough, man. When you get in the playoffs, the game may have been lopsided, but Philly had to work for their points, because that defense of San Francisco was a damn good defense.
Oh, heck,
and they
yeah.
really didn't start breaking down until like the latter part of the game. But they had to work hard to get those points.
Yeah.
So,
but they were
battle,
in the driver's seat.
Yeah. But when you're a good team like that, we've seen it. You know, if you look at the year that New England went at 17-1 and lost in the play, they lost in the Super Bowl. That year, they were beating teams. They maybe had two hard games. You know those two hard games was the Giants and the Ravens. That was their two hard games. Everybody else, they were blowing out. But we never said, well, hell, they're not going to win the Super Bowl because they're not battle tested. Philly, when you are that good, you have the luxury of blowing people out. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Basketball, hockey, football, baseball. When you have a team like that and you're blowing people out, it doesn't matter if the game was hard or not. You are that good. So I'm not going to – I can't buy into – I can't
– Right, you can't apologize for it.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not going to apologize, or Philly fans are not going to apologize to everybody because their team is so good and everybody else is a notch or half a notch below them. This team, I guarantee you, if they were to get into a back and forth, they got into a back and forth first game of the season with the Lions. Who won? Philadelphia. Philadelphia got into, back and forth with a lot of teams in the NFL during the season, but they were able to win. Why? Because they were the better team.
They were the best team. And I do think sometimes we have the, well, is it really a big advantage when you get the bye because you get a little rust? Mm-hmm. That was definitely a theory when the Titans played so rusty and poorly after they had the week off. But here you see where it is an advantage. They got the bye.
They're healthy.
They're healthy. They were sharp. They get an overachieving Giants team who they just ran right out of the building. Mm-hmm. And then you get the 49ers with the quarterback issue that comes up after Purdy had thrown, two passes? The whole two or three passes before he hurt his elbow. And then all of a sudden it's a very different game. So you can't give that back. But they did catch a few breaks to help them. That's one of the easiest paths I've seen for a one seed to get to the Super Bowl. And it won't be, and like you said, there's the KC seems to have more drama, right?
Oh, totally.
They were the one seed too, but they seem to, through the course of the year, have a little more ups and downs and some crazy games like the one against the Titans. And they're fun to watch because you always seem like you're going to see some Mahomes have to do some magic.
Well, a lot of theirs has been because of injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Philly has been one of the teams that have been relatively healthy throughout the whole season, even into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the advantage of the path that the Eagles is going down. Mm-hmm. Not that they didn't earn it. They absolutely have. But they are going into it. Both of these teams are going into it with such different, kind of mojos going in the locker room. The Eagles have just been able to stay healthy, and they've been able to play a little bit more conservatively at the end of games because they have been up so much, where the Chiefs, it's come down to the wire, and they are battered. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get your calls and your texts on that. And I think that we're seeing history repeat itself in the NFL. And what does that mean for the Tennessee Titans? I want to get into that coming up next. And, of course, your calls, your texts. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.